Welcome, friend. I am Merit Ansah, your dream coach and host of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. And I believe God has an unfolding plan for your life, a God-shaped dream just for you. But there are mountains to climb between you and that dream, like fear, comparison, imposter syndrome, and what if I mess this up? Or maybe the next right step is just evading you, or you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or stuck. I promise you are not alone. And that's why I'm here, to bring you stories from sisters in Christ who have been there and have made it out on the other end. Stick around and you'll find a new episode every Wednesday morning and once a month a solo where I will coach you through the stages of following our God-shaped dreams and provide fuel for the fire that's already burning in your heart. If you're ready to find some real traction for your dream instead of sitting on the sidelines, subscribe to the show and then meet me back here every week for transformational tools to help you release the lies so you can freely show up in the world with your gifts, leaning on God in your weaknesses, and serving His kingdom with the dream He's given you. Hello, dreamer. I am so glad you are here today for the Devoted Dreamers podcast. I have a solo episode for you today, and I'm going to jump right into the content because there is a lot here that I feel like you probably need to hear. God's put it on my heart, and so I am just passing it along to you today. I often hear comments from people about my podcast or my work as a dream coach that make me think that they think I have it all figured out, that my path to my dream has been straight or smooth, or that dreaming in general shouldn't really be all that hard or have pitfalls. Or maybe if the dream does get hard, that they must be on the wrong path, that maybe they heard God wrong or some version of that kind of self-doubt or disbelief about their own path. And I'm wondering, have you ever felt this way? Like you looked at someone else's success or progress and thought, oh, wow, she is so much further along than me. Or you judged your early stages of dreaming by the midpoint of someone else's dream. Like they're so far beyond anything you could be doing right now here at your first couple of steps when they're at step like 28. Or you looked back and you felt discouraged that you haven't done more by now with your life or with the dream God's given you. And all of these things are why I wanted to do this solo episode. So if you resonated with any of that or any version of that, this episode is for you. And if I can get real honest with you about the backstory to this conversation, I would say that I have been putting this off. You know, I began the month of August already feeling way behind. I've been doing just kind of some maintenance things behind the scenes in my business. And I usually do my solo episodes the first week of the month, which obviously this is not the first week of the month if you're listening to this live. But when it came time to do this one, I just wasn't ready. I hadn't decided on the topic. I'd made a couple of notes, but I just really didn't have the clarity that I wanted to. And time was running out to get something ready for you last Wednesday. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this. I often feel just some of my own resistance when it comes time to write and record a solo episode because, honestly, it requires more of me than an interview. It feels more vulnerable than an interview. I feel like I have to dig deeper into my soul to share stuff with you that I've learned along the way. And that just feels harder. And I almost never think at the end of recording a solo episode, well, I hit that one out of the park. I mean, even after I publish these episodes, I'm always a little bit like, I'm maybe going to take that down at some point. But sometimes I think that is just the nature of dreaming with God. And it's part of the commitment that I've made when I call myself a dreamer of a God-shaped dream, that I am called to more than just phoning it in my flesh. I really just want to phone it in. but alternatively, I am committed to living this lifestyle of living out a God-shaped dream alongside you. And I want to acknowledge when it's difficult and walk forward in it anyway, because I'm encouraging you to do the same. So I would like this to be a practical episode for you with some mindset related takeaways that you can apply right away and some scripture that I'm going to bring into it at the end. But I also want to first dispel some misconceptions you might have about the path to a dream. And I'm going to do that by walking you through a bit of the timeline of my story so that in case you are inclined to compare yourself to me, hopefully this will be the reminder you need that every path is different and that God is using yours and you right where you are. I decided to call this part of the episode the redemptive story of following my dream. And the big takeaway I'm going to give you here at the beginning is that the path is rarely straight and that there can be and often is loss and disappointment, and that what you see on the outside is almost never what is going on the inside for someone else. And as I share my story, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. Maybe even hit pause and pray along the way, asking God to reveal to you the following. And I'm going to put these in the show description so you can find them right in the language that's in your app, wherever you're listening to this episode. But here are the questions. Number one, what's got you tied up in knots about your dream? Question number two, what is causing you to believe, if you believe, that you're not on the right road? Or what tempts you to believe that sometimes? Maybe you don't always believe that, but maybe you question on occasion, oh, am I even hearing God right? Am I following where he wants me to go? What's causing you to believe that? What is underneath it? And then question number three, where do you have a fairy tale ending expectation when in fact, the twists and turns could be the exact path that was meant for you in your dream? Okay, so the other day, someone in my Facebook group said this to me, and I quote, "You inspire so many people, and your podcast gave me the strength to work for my dream come true. But if you had told me at the age of 22 that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I would have thought you were talking about someone else. Like, clearly you had made a mistake, because that was not me. You see, I am that girl that didn't know what to do with my life. In fact, my dad still teases me to this day that I chose where I wanted to go to college because I wanted to live at the beach, which is funny because I'm from California. And do you know how many universities there are within driving distance of a beach? Like, especially Southern California, there are a lot. So, Dad, lay off it. But no, really, when I graduated from college, I had a degree, but no direction. My four-year degree from a major research institution didn't prepare me to step into the workforce. Can you relate at all? Anybody out there, liberal arts students? And so I was really at a loss. Like, somehow no one had ever talked to me about maybe you should do an internship, or maybe you should, you know, learn something other than how to sell t-shirts at the Gap. I mean, I just really did not know what to do, how to do it. I did not know how to find a job after I graduated from college. And so for 2 years, I, you know, figured it out. I worked for my alma mater. I applied and interviewed and successfully got a job. And it was one of those, like, I'm going to be an admin assistant in this office on campus, and I'm going to use this as a season of trying to figure out a real direction for my life and my career. And to be real, I was pretty scared about stepping into the adult world of independence. I mean, I was financially on my own. And so this job felt like a really good middle ground while I found my way, because I could work full time, earn a salary, be independent, and yet not really leave the place, my college campus, that felt comfortable and a bit like home to me. And, you know, got to hang out with my friends a couple extra years. But, you know, this turned out to be a great move. It felt like a bit of a cop-out at the time, but it helped me figure out a direction for my career. I figured out after some informational interviews and spending some time with people that were doing jobs that I was like, ooh, that looks interesting. I figured out that I wanted to work as some sort of mentor or advisor to college students who were struggling like I did. I wanted to help them find their path a little bit earlier than I did, to grow as leaders and to become confident in their strengths and their abilities so that they could go out into the world and do amazing things. My mentors along my journey through high school and college have meant the world to me, and I hoped that I could be that for some young women a few years behind where I was. So as it turns out, there's a career field in which you can do just this. I applied and was accepted to graduate school in a program called Student Development Administration. This was my happy place. I was studying things I was passionate about. I got amazing grades compared to my undergraduate grades, which looking back feels a little bit like an indication that I had made the right choice to go in this direction for my future career. And as I was getting ready after 2 years to go out into the work world, I was finally feeling confident that I could do something, that I could make a difference in the lives of other people. But even then, after finding my way through school, the career path wasn't exactly as clear as I thought it would be. I tried out so many different avenues. You know, college campuses are really widely varied places, and I tested the waters in a lot of different departments, which meant that after 2 years of graduate school, I had this breadth of experience, but I did not have a lot of depth of experience. And the job that I really hoped I would qualify for required far more on-the-job experience than I had at the time. So here I was again, kind of feeling lost and discombobulated. And oh, I thought that having this master's degree was going to be the ticket. And it was in a way, but it wasn't exactly the big leap that I hoped it would be at that time. So while I did find a job, I was working with college students. I was working with women specifically. It wasn't exactly where I thought I would end up after that, the 2 years and the money that I had invested in graduate school. But the best part was that I was getting opportunities to be stretched, to be challenged, and again, to keep trying to figure out how to find my way. But after a few years, a new supervisor entered the picture for me in that job, and I really struggled. We had big differences of opinion about how things should go, and honestly, I was young and naive and a little bit outspoken, and unfortunately, she and I just did not see eye to eye, and our working relationship quickly went downhill. It wasn't long before I got laid off from that job, and I was devastated. I'd never been in a situation like this before. I never imagined being told, like, this is going to be your last day at this position. And I didn't know the Lord at this point in my life, and I had really obviously struggled to find my way here, and then did, and then lost it. It felt like a total derailment. My confidence took a huge hit, and I wasn't sure how I'd ever recover. At this point, I was 27 years old, and this was the biggest career loss I had ever faced. Now, again, as I mentioned, I was financially independent, and so within a few months, I needed a new job and found one. But it was not a dream job by any means. It was not in a place where I wanted to live. I had to move out of the city where I was living at the time, a couple hundred miles away, and it ended up, while it was, you know, a provision, a job when I needed a job, it was an incredibly challenging working environment for me to be able to do some of the things that I thought I wanted to do, just because of the nature of the college that I was working at and the lack of longevity that students had there. This, of course, challenged me in new ways, but overall, it was mostly just really, really hard. When I look back, it's like, there were a lot of hard days at that job. And just a little kind of look into the future that now I can look back and share with you about what God did there, again, before I even knew him. He introduced to me the woman who would introduce me to him and who would later be my matron of honor in my wedding. And then at that job, I had a supervisor who saw the good in me, which was a really sweet follow-up. from the one who saw very little good in me and who laid me off from my previous job. Now, this was a big turning point in my life right here. That year, I was in this position for 1 year, almost exactly. And in the middle of that year, our family suffered a huge, huge loss that broke me personally in ways that I had never hurt and been broken before. And this was the first personal loss that I'd suffered in my adult life. I was 29 years old. And so at the same time as this was kind of happening on the personal side of my life, I was really actually quite unhappy in the job. I was unhappy in the relationship with the guy that I was living with at the time. And I was living really, really far from my family. And this was, you know, pre-2000. There was no such thing as FaceTime. This was back in the day when you actually had to pay money to make long-distance phone calls. And so all of this stuff in my life that felt like uncertain, unhappy, unresolved, and then this hurt from this loss that our family was suffering, I began to question my career path. So I am now, 4 years into this career that I was like so excited to have discovered. And I was working at such a small school that there was zero opportunity for advancement because there were no mid-level jobs there. Like it was my job or my boss's job or his boss's job. And they had all been there at least 10 years. And so as I started to think about like, okay, where do I go from here? What happens when I leave this position? How do I find a job that is actually advancement that would be, you know, if I were at the same, you know, company, it would be a promotion. It just didn't exist in a small school like I was working at. And at the time I was unmarried, and suddenly it occurred to me that if I didn't want to work at a big research university that had thousands and thousands of employees, like the place where I graduated from, that I was probably going to have to move to a new city and state every 3 to 5 years for any sort of job growth that would be like a promotion. And not staying in the same town for very long just didn't feel like it bode very well for me ever getting married and settling down. And so here I was, you know, in my dream career, realizing that it was in huge conflict with what I wanted for my personal life. And that to succeed in the career, it was going to mean a lot of transition over the next several years. And I began to ask myself, what mattered most to me? So 4 years after earning my master's degree and still with a ton of debt from investing in that degree, I left the career field that felt like was my dream come true. And this was a loss and a letting go of something that I thought was finally settled in my life when so many other things still were unsettled. Now, if you've been here a while and listening to the podcast for a while, maybe you've heard my story of getting married when I was 39 years old. I'm going to skip a big chunk of the story here because I've shared it elsewhere. But to sum it up, I was saved. God saved me at the age of 30. That's when I met Jesus. And then he brought me through a desert of loneliness as a single woman. It was a season of huge spiritual growth, of learning to trust him, of tremendous recovery from my past. And it involved a ton of tears, along with a ton of ache and worry. It required so much of me to learn how to rest and abide in Jesus, and to let go of my belief that a man would be the thing that finally completed me. And this season of being a new and growing Christian and not having a relationship that felt like had any direction or outcome, this was a loss that I never expected. I believed my life would look one way, and I was realizing it might never look that way. But you know the end of the story. Fast forward 9 years, I got married, but it was to a much different person than I ever expected. And I was a much different person than I was at age 30 when this big transition happened in my life. Now, the other piece of this is some additional loss of miscarriage and struggle with infertility that I'm not going to go into here. Again, I've shared this elsewhere, but you probably already know God provided children for us in such a unique way. And then 2.5 years ago in, I want to say 2019, when our youngest was not even a year old, my self-employed husband lost his biggest client, and overnight we lost 80% of our income. There's so much I could say about this that really isn't pertinent to this episode, but I do want to say that this loss hit us and hit me so deeply. It was massive and a huge adjustment, because it wasn't just a short window of time that we struggled with this. We are still kind of coming out of this, and God has redeemed a lot here that maybe we can discuss in another episode. But along the way, in the midst of all the loss and all the struggle and all the kind of roller coaster of emotions of what I personally and what my husband and my family were dealing with, all along the way, there was my dream. What in the world would God do with my dream? And if you were listening carefully a few minutes ago, you may have noticed that the seeds for Devoted Dreamers were already planted all the way back in college. And those seeds were nurtured in graduate school and my first job, even before I knew Jesus as Lord. This desire to serve and support and encourage other women in the struggles they were facing, whether that was in life and leadership or in relationships or in their dreams, all that stuff was there, kind of buried under the surface. But that's not when those dreams came to a resolution. There was death. There was loss. There was huge disappointment. And as I've just mentioned, devastating financial disaster. If you could see all the little twists and turns, I think you'd agree with me that it has been a lengthy journey of figuring out how to walk this dream out, how to bring it to fruition, how to determine what shape it would take, and to believe that it could become something that produces an income to support my family versus being a drain. This podcast was the first thing in the dream that felt like a real next step, because it's tangible. I've already gotten great feedback on it. I got great feedback from the very beginning. And the conversations alone that I've been able to have with other dreamers here have nurtured and grown me so much in believing my own dream has legs to stand on, and so much in helping me figure out how to even message some of the things that have been floating around in my mind for so long. And the women, you, the listeners that I've met in person and virtually, and the comments that you've shared with me about how the work that I'm doing has helped you, that stuff blows me away. You remember that comment I read to you from earlier, the one from my Facebook group? It said, "You inspire so many people, and your podcast gave me the strength to work for my dream come true." She used the word inspire to describe my work. She used the word strength, saying that my work gives her strength, gives her dream strength. But I still don't have it all figured out. I can get comments and feedback like that, and I still don't have it all figured out. But sometimes I'm afraid it appears from the outside to you that maybe I do. Just last week, I was on a call with another fellow podcaster who asked me in the midst of our conversation, like, "How many downloads does your podcast get?" And she followed up that statement with kind of this subtly semi-quiet, "I'm sure it's way more than mine." And inside, I was so shocked that she said that, because I had actually had the same thought about her podcast. "I'm sure it has way more downloads than mine." And that's when I knew I wanted to figure out a way to pull back the curtain and tell you, I do not have it all figured out. And to say that, if it looks like, and I wanted to say that if it looks like someone else's dream looks more figured out or way easier than what you sense God has given you, if you've been led to believe that only the people who look like they have it easy or are figured out are the ones who are succeeding, I have to tell you that these are temptations and lies from the enemy. I want you to pause for a moment. The next time you hear that voice questioning you or your ability to walk forward in a dream that's bigger than yourself, I want you to stop that voice in its tracks and ask where it's coming from. Because the voice of doubt or of self-condemnation or of questioning your value and worth, that voice is not of God. That is the voice of the enemy of your soul, plain and simple. He doesn't want you ever to find the freedom to proceed with your dream. He wants you to live in fear and doubt and confusion. And as I look back on the losses in my life, the confusion about my own dream, the wavering back and forth in indecision or non-commitment, questioning if I'm good enough to create anything of lasting value, in all of this, I am reminded of something that was explained to me somewhere along the way of my growing faith in Christ. And probably not coincidentally, I was reminded of this just this past weekend by our pastor in his sermon. And that is that death, i.e. loss, comes first before resurrection. Death comes before redemption. Death comes before rebirth. It has to. Our little dreams have to die so that God can do with us through our growing trust in Him what wouldn't have been possible if we had continued placing our hope in what we believe will give us life and purpose. And yeah, He allows us to run after those things. He allows those things to fail us, and through them, He brings us to the end of ourselves. When we experience loss, we begin to understand that those things, even though they may have been good at the time, they were never meant to sustain us, to hold us up, to be our foundation. Jesus alone was meant to do that. And I'm going to share a little bit more of what my pastor shared this past weekend. His name is Brad. Here's a quote, or a paraphrase, that God doesn't ask us to do something that He hasn't already sovereignly planned or that He's not in the midst of. This was music to my ears. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't ask us to do something that He hasn't already sovereignly planned or that He is not in the midst of. I say it's music to my ears because this is what has been on my heart all along, that your dream, it's God's dream first. And the only way that it will become what He meant it to be is when you submit it back to Him for His refining fire of you and the dream. And Brad shared scripture, you know, one of those, for me at least, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. These verses are like, oh yeah, yeah, I've heard those like a million times as a Christian. But he read them and I paused and I want to read them to you and ask you to pause and listen. And if these are verses that feel so ultra familiar that you just want to tune out right now, I want to bring you back and ask you to just ask God to help you to hear His heart in these verses. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. When you trust in the Lord and not lean on your own understanding, when you acknowledge Him, He will make your path straight. And I also want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. This is just verses 7 and 8. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing, refreshment, your body and spirit long for. This is the freedom to walk with God in your dream. And if that's hard to conceive of, all of you overachievers out there like me, the good news is that we get to receive this promise before we believe it. God freely gives it to us, even though we're over here like, I don't know, God, what that's going to look like or how I'm even going to do that. Again, Brad talked about that when we suffer or when life doesn't look the way we think it should, i.e. it's not yet redeemed, that we need a constant reminder that our suffering is a prelude to resurrection life. And he was talking about this in relationship to communion. This was kind of the lead into communion in our service on Sunday, the physical reminder that Jesus's body and blood was given and shed for us, that his suffering came first, and then came the resurrection and the redemption. And that things not being the way we think they were meant to be doesn't mean that God has made a mistake. Remember, the Jesus's friends, all of his followers, they never expected him to die on the cross, right? This was exactly the opposite of what they expected to happen. But the death came first before the resurrection and the redemption. And, you know, of course, God hasn't made a mistake, not at all. When we think that, when we feel that, it just means that we're stuck being wise in our own eyes, as Proverbs says, instead of trusting the Lord with our whole heart. Finally, a bit more scripture I wanted to share with you before I sign off. As I was reading God's word today, and again, I just feel like it cannot be a coincidence when this stuff lines up like this, but I was pointed to Romans 4 through my reading plan, and I wanted to share what God showed me. And I love this reminder in the Passion Translation. This is Romans 4:18, and it says, "Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations." And this is all about God telling Abraham that he was going to, number his descendants more than the stars in the sky. And then as I kept reading a little further down, Romans 4:21, still the Passion Translation, it says, "And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God." God has all the power needed to fulfill his promises. And I think sometimes we forget that when God makes promises, he means them and he means to fulfill them. We think it's on us, right? What a burden we carry. It is so heavy. We think that if God plants a dream in our heart that we feel certain is from him, we think then it's on us entirely. But Jesus calls us to let him carry the heavy burden in order that our burden might be light. So if your dream has ever felt heavy, or if figuring out how to pursue it has ever felt like a burden, I'm here to remind you today that he is offering to carry it. You just have to say yes to receive the results of that offer. And I want to close with this. These are just three mistakes that I feel like we make as dreamers, and I think they're fairly intertwined. But sit with these and ask God if you're struggling specifically in any of these areas, and ask him to help you receive the lightness of his promises and his willingness to carry the burden for you. So mistake number one, when God gives us a dream, we think we're the ones doing it, when in fact, nothing that we want or hope to achieve will actually come about because of our strength. We think if I just work harder, faster, longer, all of that, that doing more will yield more. But no, that is not how God's economy works. The reality is, when I surrender my will to the Lord, when I listen to his spirit, when I trust him, when it feels like all hope is lost, it is his hand upon our lives and upon our dreams that produces the fruit. It is all his, all of it. Mistake number two, we think we have to have something good to offer the world. Like, oh, I have to leave a legacy, or I have to leave something for my children. The reality is, Jesus offered the only thing of any lasting value, his life. Our job is to receive. We cannot earn the greatest gift ever given. We can't even see it as a gift without Jesus changing our hearts first to receive it. It is all him. If I look at my life and think that I chose God, there is no way. I 100% ran from him, disobeyed him. I didn't choose him. He changed my heart to see the gift that he was offering in his life, death, and resurrection. Mistake number three, we hold so tight to our plans versus surrendering to God what we want in exchange for his better plan. The reality is we don't have to hold on to it. In fact, we can hold it so very loosely and trust that he will make known to us the path of life. This is a journey. I assure you, I don't get it right all the time. In fact, it is a regular battle to yield my will to his, with my dream, with my life, with my own sin. It's me getting in the way, but it doesn't have to be that way. I want more for you. He wants more for you. And if you're struggling with any of this, I would absolutely love to hear from you. And first, I'd urge you to be in the Word to see what God says about it first, but then please reach out to me. Thanks so much for listening today. If while listening to this episode, you thought that maybe it is finally time to pursue your own God-shaped dream, and if a little structure and personalized support would be helpful to you in that endeavor, let's chat about dream coaching. You can join me for a free 30-minute discovery call so we can connect one-on-one and see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Sign up at bit.ly/dreamercall.